Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenelon, and today's show is all about abiding in Jesus in light of the upcoming 2020 elections. And how are we going to do that? Well, first we'll look at the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 6 through 10. We'll look at that and what it means to abide in Jesus. What does that really mean? What does it mean? And then we'll examine that passage, first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, and how it relates to the upcoming elections. It has great bearing, even though you think that the two are very separated, perhaps, because that was written centuries ago. Not so. It's pertinent for today. And then finally, we'll talk about how to apply the passage to our daily lives and stay out of the fray, stay out of it, stay out of the mess that's being made out there on social media and in the news outlets. So first, let me express my gratitude for your support, your prayers. Oh, they mean the world to me. I thank you so much. I love hearing back to you, and you know it from you, and the wonderful thing is that the more of these episodes I do of Simply Holy, the more I hear back from my listeners, and I'm loving it. I absolutely love hearing from you. And so I know that I'm reaching out to people, and I know that people's hearts are being touched, and that is just delightful to me. I'm so happy about that. So thank you for that. Thank you for your support and prayers, because it's your prayers that really carry me through. Believe it. Believe it, please, because I need your prayers. Thank you also for spreading the word about the show. Word is getting out there. It's growing, and I'm super excited. Simply Holy has an important mission for our time, and I'm so grateful to you for helping to spread the word. And thank you especially for helping me to lead the world to Christ through Mary. To Christ through Mary. Isn't that what all Christians are called to do? And I take that upon myself in a very concerted and serious way, to lead the world to Christ through Mary. So thank you. Thank you for your support and your prayers. Now, before we really get into today's topic, let's pray. Let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together. We thank you, our dear Mother Mary, for urging me to speak and nudging our listeners, my listeners, to listen this day. I thank you, Mother Mary. We thank you. Let us pray. We ask for open hearts and minds so that we may savor the message that Christ and our Mother have for us today. So please, please, dearest Mother, please, Heavenly Father, my Lord Jesus, oh, please, please grant us open hearts and minds that we may savor your message today. In Jesus' name, and through Mary's intercession, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, Our topic for today is abiding in Jesus in light of the 2020 elections. I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenlon, and we have a very lively and inspirational show in store for you today as we look at the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, in light of these upcoming elections. Let's open up that scripture passage. Let's dig into it right now. And it's a little bit long. There's a lot in it. And I really encourage you to go back to it. Please do. Please go back to it on your own. Look it up in your Bible and spend some time with it in prayer. Please, please go back to it. So here it is. This is what it is. First letter of John, chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. No one abides in him. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Whoa, there's a lot in that passage, isn't there? I'm tempted to read it again, but maybe I'll do that a little later in the broadcast because it is so long. But again, please go back to the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. It is something else. It speaks a lot of what we're seeing today. And so let's look at that now. Let's look at what they're talking about here. What is John referring to when he's talking about abiding in Jesus? What is he talking about there? What does that mean? Well, the definition of abide is to accept or act in accordance with. So that's what John is referring to. He's encouraging, he's a little bit admonishing and cautioning his followers, his disciples, those reading his words. He is urging them to abide in Jesus. That means to accept his teachings and act in accordance with them. Abide in Jesus. It doesn't mean, you know, think about him and believe what you want, or, you know, use him here and there as it suits you. No, no, no. Abide in Jesus. That means to accept or act in accordance with our Lord's teaching always, no matter what, all of the time, 100% of the time. What else does abide mean? It means to remain, to continue, to stay, to have one's abode, to dwell, or reside. Now think about, I'm going to read that little section again of that definition that I culled from the dictionary. And now apply this to our Lord. Think about that in terms of our Lord. So it's to remain, continue, stay, to have one's abode, to dwell, to reside. Now think about that. Think about that in terms of the heart of Jesus, because our home, our real home, is in the heart of Jesus. And who's there also? who was there also in our Lord's heart? Well, our Mother Mary. Of course she is there. Of course she abides in Jesus. The two are inseparable. So where you find our Lord, you will find our Blessed Mother. Every time, always. And when we're at home in the heart of Jesus, then, my friends, then we will have lasting joy. Lasting joy. Nothing, as long as we are abiding in Jesus, nothing can shake our joy, no matter how rough things get. So now let's look at this passage in relation to the 2020 elections, the upcoming elections. Now, you probably have noticed that the brawl has already begun. People are egging each other on. Social media is ablaze with crude and cruel memes and snarky, sinful comments. I'm sure you've seen it, and I hope that you have not engaged in it. And you may have been. You may be tempted to, and you will be tempted to going forward, because it pulls you in, because people are so passionate, but not necessarily in a good kind of passionate, about their convictions. Because this kind of passionate, this kind of hanging on one's convictions really spurs people to hatred. So it's not the kind of passion where I'm sharing something good and true and beautiful. It's the kind of passion where one wants to force their beliefs on another or discredit another in some way. The brawl has already begun. I am sure that you have witnessed at least some of it. And as we go, as the calendar moves and we see the candidates out there pitching their platforms and trying to garner votes, and yes, there will be candidates who will be trying to discredit each other. It's gotten to be part of the political scene in this country. As a small child, I do not remember hearing my parents talk about candidates disrespecting each other or lashing out at each other. And today it seems like a whole different scene. It's very, very different. They're lashing out, discrediting, and others, and by others, I don't mean the candidates themselves, although yes, they would want to uproot us from our convictions, but also other people, other voters, people we know, people we love and honor, people who we have admired in the past. Maybe we admire them now for certain reasons. They are going to try to uproot us from our convictions. They're going to try to get us to abandon our beliefs and fall into their way of thinking. There are vital issues at stake in this election. There are vital issues at stake right now. Abortion, gender confusion. I mean, we've got people. We've got drag queens doing story hour in libraries, teaching this to young children. And in some cases, the parents have defended the drag queens and what they are doing. It's absurd. It's all backwards, inside out, and upside down. And it seems on the surface to be something good and beautiful. Here is this person wanting to entertain these children on a voluntary basis, I'm assuming. And yet, there's this subliminal message there that is completely immoral. On the outside, it looks good, but on the inside, it's evil. It's very evil. So we have that. We have the definition of marriage in question. We have the seal of confession in the sacrament of reconciliation. That is being threatened in many, many states right now. And these issues, these will come up in the election. These will definitely surface because it's all part of the picture. Our very constitutional rights are being threatened. This is serious stuff. And much weight is on this upcoming election, the 2020 elections. And so the hatred, the aggravation, it's already brewing and spreading, and it's just waiting to get its gnarly claws around your throat. My throat, everybody, our children's, everyone we know, it's out there. Because you know what happens is the evil one, he instigates this. You know, someone has a strong feeling and he is going to exacerbate that. He's going to aggravate that and push it into evil intentions and manipulate that person's mind and heart even. And we have to be very wary of that, because as we go forward, what's going to happen is that the focus, it already is, the focus is and will be on human desires and not God's wishes, not God's desires, human desires. I feel like I want to change my gender. I feel like I want to do this, you know, structure this myself and this story hour to subvert children. You know, it's not that I'm just picking on that. It's all over the place, this kind of thing, because there is much deception and skewing of the truth. That's everywhere. That's on social media. That's in our news outlets. It is just about everywhere you look. And that is one of the best tactics that the evil one has. He's a liar. He is a liar. He deals in lies. He will never tell the truth. And he will make lies seem like the gospel truth. That's what he does best. That's how he gets into us and messes with our, not only our thinking, not only our spirits, but our very salvation is under threat from him. Now, when we think about this, the deception and the skewing of truth, we have to remember, who is the truth? Who is the truth? It's Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't know the truth, although both of those are true. He is the truth. His very being is truth. That's why we need to abide in him. That's why this is so important, to abide in him. You see, we need to cling to him throughout these coming months, starting right now, and we need to evaluate everything that comes at us through the lens of the authentic teaching of the Catholic Church. Don't take anything in until it's gone through that filter, my friends. And if you do that, then you won't be led astray. If you look at something that comes up and before you react, take a breath and look up. Look it up. Look it up in the catechism. Look it up in the commandments. You'll find it. It's in the teachings of the church. The church addresses just about everything we could possibly face. Maybe not in direct wording, but in situations and how to either avoid or participate in them if they're a godly situation. And then we need to be a child of God. Just like St. John tells us in his first letter, to be a child of God. What does that mean? What does it mean for you to be a child of God? Well, there's a difference between being childlike and childish. Childish is immaturity. Childlike is what? Abiding in Jesus. Is knowing who our Heavenly Father is and kneeling before Him with our entire being because He is a good and loving Father. And so we need to pray for the grace of childlikeness. And that's not going to be a one-time deal. I hate to tell you this, but it's true. Probably, and as things get hotter and hotter out there, and I'm not talking about the temperature, I'm talking about the climate, the climate of the, you know, the politics and the news and all of this. Okay, as it gets hotter and hotter out there, we will need to go back to that prayer again and again and again, to pray again and again for the grace of childlikeness. Because if we are truly children of God, if we have been given the grace of childlikeness, then abiding in Jesus will truly bring us joy and peace of heart. Because abiding in Jesus always, always brings us joy and peace of heart. Now, another thing that St. John says in that passage is, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. So, yes, there's childlikeness, but, you know, look at a, you know, when you think of a child and they know if you've hung around kids enough, they can see right through you. They definitely can. They can see if you're trying to hide your anger. They can see if you're about to burst out laughing while you're trying to discipline them. They definitely know who is a genuine person and who is not. Watch the children. They know. They know if there's someone who is a danger to them or someone who will be a great blessing to them. Watch their reaction. Now, there are some kids who are just terribly shy for other reasons, but just think about that in terms of being childlikeness. The let no one deceive you is one of the most important lines, I think, in this passage, first letter of John, chapter 3, 6 through 10, especially as we move forward to the 2020 elections. Now, let me give you an example. This isn't exactly pertaining to politics or the election, but it will demonstrate quite clearly, I think, what we're up against as we move forward. So, not long ago, I was invited to speak in Ireland, and I was thrilled. It's a legitimate invitation. In fact, I'll be going September 20th through the 28th. Very excited to speak at St. Mary's Church in Headford, County Galway. I got this invitation, and not long after, once I verified it and we had things rolling, not long after, I received an email invitation to speak in England. In England. And I was so excited. And the dates fit, and I knew I could do it. I wanted to do it. So I accepted right away, thinking, oh, well, maybe they saw somewhere online that I was speaking in Ireland. And so they got the idea that, hey, this woman is willing to go overseas, which I am, for speaking engagements. Well, here's what happened. Their suggestions in terms of how things would be run and their lack of information started to make me a little wary. And I had posted on my Facebook page that I had been invited to speak in England. And so I got a private message right after that from a colleague of mine. And she said, Marge, I think this is a scam. Be careful, because I got the same invitation and it was the same situation. This very warm invitation, but then the information for what, you know, what we should speak on and who might be there and so on and so forth was really sketchy. Now, the funny thing is of course, they named Well, it's not funny, haha, but strange. They named it an actual church and gave the address of the church and so forth. So it looked real. You see where I'm going with this? It looked real on the surface. So I thought everything was okay. And so I played along with this for a while. And pretending that, yes, I was intending to come, but, you know, never the exact answers to my questions. Well, in any case, as we got closer, and we worked through some of the little nitpicky things, but at one point, and it wasn't too long into the setting things up after the initial query, they said that in order to speak in England, I would need a work permit and visa from the UK. Now, I'd never heard of that before, but who knows, right? I'd never gone to England before, so I didn't know for sure. They said that I would need that the paperwork was pretty tough to get through, and we didn't have much time because the speaking engagement was only a couple months away from when they initially invited me. So they said that one of the women at their parish, on the parish council, works for the British government and would help me to fill out and obtain these forms. And what I would need to do to get her help is I would need to email her my, guess what's coming, you bet, my personal information, my social security number, and all of that stuff. And at that point, I was sure that this was a scam. And so I just stopped responding to them. And excuse me, sure enough, they dropped the whole thing. So after having been in such a great hurry to get me all set up for this speaking engagement, they just stopped communicating with me. So I knew immediately that they knew I was on to them. And in the meantime, the colleague who had tipped me off was in touch with the FBI about all of this going on. And the FBI, unfortunately, there wasn't a lot they could do about the situation. We could file a report and so on. But what they thought is that it was a really detailed and thought out scam for identity theft. So they were trying they probably weren't from the UK at all. They were just trying to steal my identity. You see, but here's how it relates to what we're talking about today in terms of the elections and people making things sound so good and trying to lure you in. That is exactly what happened to me. They made it sound so good, and they made it sound like it was to my advantage, and, you know, pumped my ego a little bit. It was flattering. It was flattering to be invited overseas to speak. And because I had had one such invitation, I thought, okay, well, this is not impossible. God is being very good to me. But they made it seem so good. That's my point to you, my friends. They made it seem so good. And on the surface, it was. But underneath, it was evil. You see how that is? Let no one deceive you. Those are exactly the tactics that the folks who are going to be trying to lure us away from our convictions, that's exactly how they're going to operate. So I want you to learn from my experience, because that is how it goes. Oh, well, this is a better good. You know, abortion allows the woman freedom, you know, she can live her life and so on. You see how they do that? It's a supposed good that is masking an intrinsic evil. Just like my being caught up, at least for a short time, in that scam of being invited to the UK to speak. So think of that. Think of that as all of this stuff starts coming at you, because it will. It started already. And don't be deceived. Let no one deceive you. Be a child of God and abide in Jesus. So my friends, that's a lot to ponder. Lots and lots, but it's good stuff. I love being with you. I love chatting with you. I love sharing with you what's on my heart and what I'm hearing from you, actually, you know, when you write back to me. As we go through this week, let's remember to practice righteousness and abide in Jesus with joy and confidence. And please take some time to go back to the first letter of John, chapter 3, verse 6 through 10. You will love it, and you will see immediately that there's so much there that is pertinent to this day, right now, and where we're at. So our time together is coming to a close, and I'm grateful. If you'd like to know more about me, if you'd like to become part of my ministry to lead the world to Christ through Mary, then please subscribe to my newsletter. I'm offering a free printable right now for new subscribers. Oh, please do that. I would love to have you on board because I send out all kinds of interesting things over the course of the month. So if you'd like to subscribe to my newsletter, or if you'd like to invite me to speak, I'd love to come to speak at your parish, at your conference, at your retreat. I'd love that. So if you want to do these things, please visit MargeFenelon.com. That's MargeFenelon.com. I have a wealth of awesome joy and inspiration waiting there for you. You can also connect with me on my website. So choose the little contact option in the menu and email me at Marge@MargeFenelon.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest. I want to hear from you. Please let me know what's on your hearts and minds. And if you have input about this particular podcast, I definitely want to hear it. This is a tough subject, and it's going to come up again and again throughout the coming year. Just search Marge Fenelon, and you'll find me on the social media. Go to MargeFenelon.com. And you'll find me. I can't wait to hear from you. Before you go, my friend, I ask that you help me bring the world to Christ through Mary by sharing this podcast with people in your life. Please share it, especially those folks you can see that are all gnarled up and stuck in the fray and part of the brawl. Share this podcast with them, please. Hey, thanks for listening. Until soon, let's remember that the only thing stopping us from becoming holy are the excuses we make for not pursuing it. May God bless you.
Hello, this is International Catholic Singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select International Tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.